Payne is in the building.
Coming up tomorrow morning on the next edition of the Hartman and Rich Show, the Padres on the road against the Phillies. This is the road trip with the return of Blake Snell. What does this mean for the starting rotation of the Padres moving forward? We're going to tell you, starting at 6 on Extra 1360.
All right, this week it is the 104th PGA Championship. It is at a golf course in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is a familiar stop for some of golf's major championships. I want to say this is the eighth major championship at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bob Herrig would know this rather than me just fumbling around trying to figure it out in my head. Bob Herrig is a golf reporter for many years. He's now a Sports Illustrated. He's the author of a book, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, Tiger and Phil. Both of these guys have been in the news a little bit this week. Bob Herrig joining us on Extra 1360. Bob, Darren Smith in San Diego, thank you very much.
Darren, hello. How are you? You know, I would have had a hard time coming up with eight here, too, so don't worry about it.
I don't even know that that's accurate, but I'm pretty sure I read that this morning while I was reading up a little bit about the PGA Championship. It's been far more this major than it was a couple of times for the U.S. Open. What makes a great PGA Championship golf course, Bob?
I think a good way to describe it is it's PGA, it's a U.S. Open light. You know, it's kind of like a U.S. Open, except it's not quite as severe. Like you said, they had a U.S. Open here, 2001. That's the one that Retief Goosen won, and they had one. I think Tommy Bolt won here, Hubert Green. They've had a couple, but the PGA's also been here. It's because it's such a good golf course. You know, it's kind of old school, and just very, very traditional. You know, very, very good fairways. They've cut back a lot of trees here. Tough greens. So if it gets firm like we expect, because there's not going to be much rain, the ball will be running. The greens will be firm. It'll be hard to hold them. And if you miss a green, you got a tough chip. So usually those things lead to scores that aren't terribly low, and a little bit of consternation among the players, which is, I think, what we like in majors.
I do. I'm with you 1,000%. I like consternation in players. I know players don't always like consternation in players, but I like it. I think it's actually really watchable, and it's very relatable for us.
No question. Look, the tournament that just concluded in Dallas, the winning score was 25 under. I mean, if you're not shooting 6 under a day, you're getting lapped. And, that means it's kind of a putting contest. You could be hitting it great and not making anything. I think the difference at a place like this is, we'll see. I have a feeling the scoring won't be bad. It'll be decent. But typically if you shoot par in the first round, you're not out of it. You might be a few strokes back, but you haven't shot yourself out of the tournament, and it's because there might be one or two guys who go low, but not 10. And yet, typically by the weekend, if things will get a little tougher, maybe more wind, or if things dry out, then it gets firmer, and you'll notice some stress. And that's, I think in majors, we want that a little bit. We want the guys to back up once in a while if they don't hit a good shot.
Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf reporter, joining us on Extra 1360. Author, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, about Tiger and Phil, which has just come out here over the last couple of weeks. Let's go with the latter. He's the defending PGA champ, and he's not there this week, Bob. And I wonder what the buzz is like on the grounds with no Phil Mickelson.
It's kind of weird. I mean, it's almost like they've erased history. You don't see his photo anywhere. Like typically they have they might have the banners of the past champions, and if those are around, I haven't seen it. He had one of the greatest wins in the game's history a year ago. A Hall of Famer winning a major, age 50, oldest major winner ever. He beats two guys who are pretty much in the prime of their careers, including Brooks Koepka, who'd won the PGA twice, by the way, and had four majors, and now all of a sudden he's we don't even know what's going on. He's not here. He hasn't played two majors. It's to the best of my knowledge, it's the first time since 1954 Wayne Major tried to defend his title for a reason other than injury. In other words, Ben Hogan won the British Open in 53 and he never played it again. He only played it once. But there wasn't an injury reason keeping him from going. He just decided not to play. It was different back then. To go to the British Open was a big effort, and so he didn't defend. But every time it's happened since, which is still rare, it's usually due to injury. Tiger didn't play the 08 PGA because he had knee surgery. So the fact that Phil is the reigning PGA winner and hasn't played the two majors this year really it's still kind of hard to comprehend.
Does it feel, I mean, this is obviously nothing but speculation, but I mean, does it feel like there's a chance we've seen him for the final time on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I hope not, but you know, if he goes the way of this LIV Golf Tour or the LIV Golf Invitational Series, I don't know if there's a way for him back. I don't know if the tour will allow him to come back, because that's a, you know, this is a very controversial issue at the moment, but I don't understand why it would keep him from playing majors. You know, Phil's eligible as a PGA winner. He's eligible to come back here as a Masters champion. Same thing. He's got four more years left on his U.S. Open exemption, and he can play the British Open through age 60. You know, so, you know, basically another 9-10 years. I mean, he's not going to play those because he decides he's going to go play for a different league. I mean, I understand the PGA Tour's angst over that and why they might not want him to play on their tour, but they don't run golf, you know, and so that's why this is. Now, listen, the reason he's not here might be, it sounds like it's of his own making and maybe he's not ready to come back yet. And if that's the case, then okay. You know, I wish he would have explained it, but I mean, I can understand why that might be true because he's possibly just, you know, not wanting to deal with all the blowback that's been coming his way here lately.
And where's that blowback? I mean, let me rephrase it. How much of that blowback do you think, Bob, would come from fellow tour players? You know, I realize it's a mixed bag, right? Like, I can find a story on your old employer's website where Webb Simpson's, you know, rambling on about cancel culture. And then I can find other golfers who are you know, saying, you know, this is very selfish and using, you know, Rory has been very outspoken about this as well. I mean, how much blowback do you think he would be welcomed by and large by the other players that are there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I hate that term cancel culture in this instance. I mean, you know, what he said and what he did is worthy of discussion for why he's in this position. You know, I mean, he was allegedly talking to another entity about formulating their business plan that would go in direct competition with the PGA Tour where he's made his legacy. You know, I can understand why that's an issue. I can understand why the PGA Tour might want to penalize him, suspend him perhaps. But he hasn't been canceled. I mean, you know, he's decided to stay away of his own volition. The PGA Tour hasn't told us he's been suspended, not that they necessarily do. I mean, companies, you know, they dropped their sponsorships of him because for whatever reason, they felt that he was toxic. You know, the comments against the tour were harsh. And, you know, even though he might have had a point on some of them, the tone, I think, was jarring to some people. And so in that regard, you know, and you know, Webb was trying to give him a way back. And you know, I think Webb's a guy who feels like, you know, we're forgiving. We should allow people back. Yeah, there would have been some other players who might not have been, but I doubt they would have been confrontational about it. You know, I mean, they got their own business to worry about this week. They probably would have just avoided them. Yeah, but also I think fans would welcome him back. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he's a popular player. He's been that way for years. Are some people upset about this thing with Saudi and LIV Golf? Sure. But I mean, I also challenge people to think about their own situation. It's harder with athletes who've made a lot of money. But if an average guy is offered a job that's life-changing money and it's through, let's say, through that organization. Let's say it's a job with LIV Golf. Maybe you're an accountant and they have some sort of accounting job, and they're going to pay you 10 times what you make. Are you going to just say no to that out of principle, or are you going to consider it because of the money? If you say no to it out of principle, what have you proven? Are you going to get a pat on the back for having morals? You know, I mean, I just think it's a lot more complicated than people are making it.
Without a doubt. I mean, it is so multi-layered, because then I could start jumping around to other sports and talking about how other sports deal with this sort of thing, and where other things that I talk about, how they've ended up in Saudi Arabia as well. Bob, last thing for you, since we'll stick with the theme of the book, which is out recently about Tiger and Phil. No real mystery here this week. Tiger's there. Tiger's ready to play. I wonder if there's any insight as to how old Tiger looks getting set for his second major back from the car wreck.
Yeah, I think, after coming back at the Masters, there was some doubt about here, but I think he erased that when he came here for a practice round a couple weeks ago. And I watched him for all 9 holes yesterday. We actually talked to him briefly. He sounded upbeat. He talked about, the idea that he feels his leg can improve and get stronger. He wants to take advantage of the few opportunities he's going to have. He played 9 more holes today. I think one thing we're going to all have to get past and get used to is, he's probably going to walk and look a little bit different than we're used to for forever. That might just be part of his new normal. And what's happening is I think we're focusing in on that. Oh my God, how much is he limping? Well, I just happen to think that's part of it now. Hmm. He had a horrific injury to his right leg and ankle and foot, and that's part of it. And now it's, how much is that just part of the way he has to operate? How painful is it? How much endurance and stamina does he have? And from the sound of it, it's going to slowly but surely get better. And so this is another, step, so to speak, in the process. Much easier golf course to walk than Augusta. The temperatures are going to be warm, which is good for him. It was very cold the weekend at Augusta, and that was bad for him. That was bad luck. I mean, I really truly believe on Saturday it led to the tough round. I mean, it was windy. It was in the 50s. It's not good for his back. I mean, he needs warmth to be as flexible and mobile as possible. And he'll have that this week. So I think that all bodes well. So, but I also think we have to be realistic, and it's only his second tournament in all this time, what now 15 months since the car crash. You have to have some realistic expectations as well.
Bob, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time. Golf's most fascinating rivalry, Tiger and Phil, written by Bob Herrick, who joins us here on Extra 1360. Appreciate it, Bob. Enjoy the week.
Thank you very much. Be well.
You got it. Bob Herrick from Sports Illustrated. When we return, your text, 7046.